Hey, before we start the show, I just want to say a couple quick things to our listeners. This is our 19th episode, and we have one more episode until it's our 20th episode. It's our next
one more.
Well, next episode is our 20th episode, and I just first off want to say, with all of us in the room here, like I just want to say thanks to our listeners.
They don't know that we're all in the room here.
Well, it's
me, you just told them.
Yeah, it's okay. Me, Sarah, and Megan, and I really want to say thanks to our listeners. I appreciate our listeners, and I really do feel like at the well we have this weird cult following, and I do not want to toot my own horn.
The viral mob.
That's what Brad called it. Yeah, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, and to just express during the segment really fast is just how much we love our fans. We really genuinely do. And I feel like there's nothing we can give back to our fans. We can do t-shirts and things like that. But I mean, I genuinely think that we would not be here if it wasn't for people that actually listened, commented.
Yeah, they would totally pull the plug on this thing if
right.
No one listened.
Yeah. And for me, I'm really thankful for that. And I know you guys are as well. And all I ask is before we start the show today is that recognize that we're on episode 20 and recognize that this is actually a lot of work for us. Would you guys say? I mean, drama has happened over the
emotional
last couple. Yeah, this is
baggage.
This is like a life group that we have going
on. An emotional
here.
Roller coaster for us. And, you know, I personally, like, I didn't want to start this podcast and just think, well, hopefully 10 people listen, you know, like my genuine heart is that there people from the well would be able to listen to this podcast and be able to think about the sermons that they're given. They'll be able to laugh with some people at the well. They'll be able to hear interviews of people at the well and understand like culture, understand why people go to the well, understand who people are, and just hear good stories and stuff. I think part of the Spoutcast is that we represent a small culture at the well, you know, and my hope is that if you are listening, please just tell a friend. You know what I mean? I don't feel like it's that hard to just tell a friend. Really, like, go on their iPhone and like download an episode of The Spout and episode 10, because Sarah really likes
that was my favorite.
Potter was on
and Brian Potter's on it.
But really, like, I know this sounds totally corny, but I don't know. It's just kind of just tell a friend. That's all I ask. Tell a friend that goes to the well, and really, you'll hear in this episode, with an interview coming up later, like it's not about just people that go to the well. We're really trying to reach an audience. We want people to know that the well exists. We want people to hear the well sermons and be able to dialogue with us on this show. So I don't know.
And here at Slot and Clear, we appreciate your feedback and your emails and the Facebook and the voicemails. We like I get surprised every time we come in and we get to read these emails. I think it's so fun and I feel so appreciated. And I'm so motivated to do this because of all the feedback that we get. And just in general, I think that's a great thing and I believe in it. So
And with the feedback that we really do make changes based off of the feedback, you know, because we want to be a show that you want to listen to. So,
like if you want a new co-host, you just thread on in.
Oh, well, hey, guys, enjoy the show. We got a good one for you. So thanks for taking time to just listen to this quick
we
segment.
Love you.
This would be considered our first commercial.
This is like on what's on NBC or something.
The more you know.
All right, guys, enjoy the show. Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and with me, as always, is Megan Jade, Sarah Wells, and joining us for the first segment in really ever, Kevin Tinkin.
Hey, Kevin.
Kevin, I know you're normally not around during this segment, but this is the segment where Megan gets really mad at the last episode and goes, I was listening to it and we did this wrong. And then Andrew Ballou, he gets yelled at. And then what happens next? No?
And then a bomb explodes and the Spoutcast is over.
I feel like that.
And then Captain Christian comes in and saves the day. And then Sarah comes to the rescue and brings us all water. And we all become okay again.
Is that what's going to happen?
Apparently. My goodness. I'm like some like robot dragon or something in here. Like, oh, Andrew Ballou.
Robot dragon?
Oh, my goodness. What do you really think of me?
No, that's not what I really think of you.
Every podcast starts off with Megan hating the last episode.
She's wagging her finger with a stick of gum on it, chewed gum on her finger.
Megan and Sarah, I just want our listeners to know this before we close out the show. This is episode.
Are we just starting it?
before we start the show, I mean, but this is episode 19, okay?
This is the shortest podcast ever. Thanks for joining us.
Christian's like all ready to be done.
Now, episode 19 means that next week is episode 20, and I will, however, not be here next week.
Which means,
what does
Sarah
that mean?
Sarah and Megan have big plans for when Dad isn't here.
Big plans.
Right. Am I really that corrupt of a person here that, like, I like just.
I mean. No, I just think we were just talking through it and how fun it would be for you to be able to experience the podcast apart from being in it.
Okay.
And it would be really fun for Sarah and I to be able to choose the music and do the intros and interview
again,
who we want to interview.
You guys hate my music.
We want to interview and like make decisions that we don't normally get to make because you are the head co-host. So
I am a co-host. I'm not the head co-host.
I know, but you sort of like you're the mastermind behind the project. So,
this is your baby.
Like, so we get to
be assistant to the.
We get to be the parents for an episode.
I am really looking forward to next week's episode. So we hope that US Spoutcast listeners will tune in. On this week's episode, we're going to have a sermon discussion about Jeff Bachman's sermon this past weekend. We're also going to do the news with Kevin Tinkin, and we're going to interview a fan of the show. Her name is Sarah Roby, and Sarah Roby is all the way from Santa Cruz. And we wanted to bring her in here and talk about, one, we want to talk about our one and why, which was our favorite t-shirts that we like and why. But we also want to talk with her about what it's like listening to the Spout in Santa Cruz and someone who doesn't go to the well, and how we can maybe have people listen to the Spoutcast who don't attend the well.
Mm.
We'll also do, and next week we're not going to have a one and why, okay, because we won't get emails and things like that. So we're not going to do a one and why. However, you guys still have free reign of the show, okay?
Is that Which means we're going to do a one and why. But
why
can't
we do
in.
One and whys?
You can, but
are you trying to still parent even though you won't be there?
Hey, we make the rules here, Christian.
Fine.
Next week, everyone, our one and why.
Go for it.
Will be.
Real smooth.
Your
real classy.
Favorite movie quote.
Ooh.
And why.
All right.
You're going to have to write in, Christian, because you love movies.
Your favorite movie quote and why. That is next week's One and Why with Sarah and Megan.
All right. So
Can't
we will
wait.
Do that next week.
Make like a tree and get out of here.
Let's go back to the future.
Yeah, thank you.
It's not this week, Kevin.
Sorry. It's just so good.
All right.
Kevin, will you be here next week for our news? Yeah. Not this next week, but the next week.
I'm available for... As you're
comfortable
awesome.
With. We are going to make this is going to be quite the show.
I got the joke. Right, also, we'll do some announcements at the end of the show. And this week's music is from an artist who just came out with a new CD. His name is Matt Carney or Matt Kearney. I don't really know how to say his name.
Oh, I like that
so.
Guy.
Kearney? Carney? He's a Carney.
Weird.
He's a Carney. He loves
He's got
carnivals.
A great voice. It's very soothing.
Yeah. So listen to some Matt Kearney. And up next, we'll have our sermon discussion about Jeff Bachman's sermon last week.
In this world, her smile is more precious than the sparkle of pearls. And though her age reached, she's just a young girl. The ace behind the eyes showed the pain as she swirled from the hand that spins out. Though his pride is kept, the weight was all felt last night when she slept. And as she crept into the dreams of the things of her past, seems to grow so fast, way beyond her old class. Though they're right there with her, her brothers and her sister, a natural born leader, even when her peers diss her. My girl, she's at a crossroads. People praying for a summer, praying on the magazine that sex drama, smoking marijuana, longing for a father to call a daughter. She's part of a generation longing for reconciliation. This future that they're facing, and this poison that they're tasting. My girl, I know this love that's chasing.
All right, welcome back, and we're going to do a little sermon discussion here. And we were all at church on Sunday, and we all heard Jeff Bachman's... What?
I'll start over.
We were all present and accounted for, listening intently, and now we're going to talk about what we heard.
All right, let me... I'll start over.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
I was going to say, Christian, what song did we just listen to?
That's Matt Kearney.
Oh, you already have it picked out?
Okay. Yeah.
Never mind.
The episode's pretty much done except for this.
Okay.
So, all right,
sorry.
We'll start back over. All right. Welcome back. And this past Sunday for our sermon discussion, Jeff Bachman spoke on, I'm not quite sure of the name of the parable, but it's definitely, it was about the cost of our sin. And Sarah, is there a name to the parable? I know you just read it, but I almost totally forgot it.
Well, It's
like a story.
Jesus and the sin of the anointed, or it's Jesus and the anointed woman sinner.
Yeah, totally.
Jesus anointed by the sinful woman.
Isn't
a parable. It's just a story about.
I got all those words right.
And
They're
you know, the Bible was written without like titles to begin with. So really, like there wasn't a title back in the day.
Really?
Really? I'm kidding, but maybe she's not.
Really? Who's not kidding?
No, I mean, those were put in by like.
American authors,
Paul, the apostle.
But yeah, he definitely had chapter titles, Christian.
He said he had the top verses of it,
the book of Ephesians, and then he wrote the letter
and put little numbers by every sentence.
Yes, but I think we as a culture it helps us understand when we write the parable of the widow and the judge.
Yeah. Okay. Let's continue because we're just being silly.
All right. Well. Check your theology, Megan.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Dear diary, today
I feel really silly right now, like in a goofy mood, you know.
Well, let's talk about a pretty serious sermon.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Basically, to kind of inform our listeners and just to recap for us, is Jeff basically started the sermon out talking about how he used to have this car that was a really nice, I think it was like a Chevy Malibu or something like that, like a really nice car that his parents bought him, and he didn't treat this car with a lot of respect because his parents bought him the car, and really it didn't matter all that much if people got it dirty, if people kicked it or whatever. And then Jeff years later ended up buying himself his own car, and it was like a Geo Metro, like a piece of junk basically.
three doors.
But Jeff like really cared about this car. He really appreciated this car. He didn't want people to bring food into the car. He didn't want people to like touch the seats like with their fingers, just kind of all this stuff, because you know what, he felt the weight of like anything that would happen to his car, and he knew that this was the car that he purchased, he was making payments for, and so he cared a lot about it. And then he started sharing the story of man, this is like a long setup for this, but I feel like it's important to this discussion.
Keep
is that
going.
Fair are
That's
you guys
fair.
Cool with
Go
me
ahead.
So he starts to share this. There's like a backstory before this parable is being told, because Jesus is invited by these Pharisees to this dinner, and these Pharisees are basically wanting to prove Jesus wrong. They're kind of at this point where Jesus is saying a lot of stuff. He's performing a couple miracles here and there, and they're like, all right, let's invite this guy to dinner and let's like shove our spiritual knowledge in his face and try and prove him wrong. Essentially, that would be a good startup of what happened. And then what basically happens is Jesus gets there, and it was customary for people to wash your feet when you walked in, to get a kiss from whoever the hostess is. But these Pharisees don't do any of this because they realize they're just there to prove Jesus wrong. Now there's this woman who's there, and she is a prostitute, or that's what is assumed, that she's a prostitute. Mm-hmm. All we really know is that she's got a lot of sin, which we all do, but they make it sound like, you know, she's got a ton of sin. And so she sees Jesus, and she's just ready to come up to him and like ask for forgiveness. She recognizes her need for a savior. She recognizes who Christ is, who this guy is performing miracles. And she recognizes she needs to come up and ask for forgiveness. And what does she do? She falls on her knees and starts to basically worship him. She washes his feet, kisses his feet, because it would be inappropriate for her to kiss Jesus like on the cheek, you know.
Oh, right.
That's what Jeff said. Then kisses, and she recognizes the need for the Savior. And the Pharisees, they're like upset, and they're like, well, how can you forgive this woman? She's a terrible sinner. You know, she's done way worse than I have. Her sin's way worse than I. She's a prostitute. I've never sold my body for anything. And so I know that was a little extreme there. Sorry, listeners. And then it ends with Jesus telling this Pharisee, Simon, I believe, Simon?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Basically saying to this Pharisee, look, you don't recognize your need for a savior. You don't recognize how bad your sin is. Mm-hmm. But this woman does. And she recognized that no matter how terrible her sin is, she still recognizes the need for a savior. Where you as Pharisees think that just, oh, you've done a couple sins here and there, but if all you're going to do... As a Pharisee, what their job was is, I'm just going to sacrifice just a couple things because, oh, I sinned here and there, but I'm not as bad as her. So that's like a long setup, but it really was like I would say 3/4 of Jeff's sermon was just him explaining what was going on, you know, and he did a great job of really summarizing it. And I now just gave the listeners like about a 2-minute snapshot.
Yeah.
So with that, let me breathe. you guys comment. What were you guys' thoughts? Where'd you guys pull from this sermon? Sarah, let's start with you.
I really enjoyed his ending-ish. The last chunk of it was he kind of went into a monologue of how serious do you take your sin? And I think that that is a topic that I neglect in my life a lot. And I think we could talk about more as a church in whole is just the seriousness and the weight of our sin. And because so often we just take it lightly because Jesus already paid for it. So, And we would never say this with our mouth, but that's how we act is it's okay. I'm learning. I'm struggling through this. So therefore I can struggle and, you know, not apologize for it, whatever. And really the weight of like our, every time we sin, even a little bit, it's always a slap in God's face. It's always hurtful to God. It's always, you know, deserving of punishment, you know, every little sin.
Yeah. And I even think that culture has made out, like they look at some sins as worse than another sin. Whereas really everything's on the same level. And I think of homosexuality, for instance, is like, as a church, you know, maybe not the Well Community Church, but I think a church as a body of people have really made a sin like that is like, that's the ultimate worst. Mm-hmm. Like how could you ever? And I would feel like a comparison to that in scriptural times would be a prostitute. How could you ever be a prostitute? Yeah. You know, and we look at that and we go, whoa, I'm glad I'm not sinning that much, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was like really heart-wrenching for me. And, you know, even back in my just a younger days as a Christian, I used to think that because that's what I was told, you know?
Right. I definitely, I'm going to throw myself under the bus here a little bit. I generally tend to identify so strongly with the Pharisees. You know, because eventually in your walk with Christ, if you've been doing it for a long time.
I feel like if you don't say that you resemble the Pharisees, then I feel like that's pharisaical. You know what I mean? Because I feel like we all have a little bit of Pharisee in us.
Right, but I definitely know people in my life who would drop to their feet and kiss the feet of Jesus because of their sin. And totally. I am not that person. And so and especially in this story, look at the Pharisees and I think, you know, I've been a Christian for 11 years now. It didn't come from my family. It was always my own faith. And I've always taken a little bit of pride in that. Like, well, you know, no one taught me this. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, somebody obviously did teach me this, but I wasn't modeled a godly family. Like, I've just, God has protected me in a lot of ways and put people in my life to just show me how to live. And so after a while, I think that my sin life becomes almost like I get written off. I get excused from these tickets, if you will, based off of how long I've been serving in ministry or how good I am and the other things that I do or how often, you know, I go out and give money to the homeless. Like, it's all based off works for me.
Yeah.
You know, to see like, well, I mean, confession, what's that? Look at all these good works that I've done that should make up for all of these sins that I have.
Well, and you bring up confession. It's almost as though we sin and we almost forget to tell Jesus, like, please forgive me. You know what I mean? And this woman in the story, she recognizes her sin and she immediately, she's like, as soon as she is face to face with Christ, she's like, okay, I am forgive me. I'm a terrible person. Mm-hmm. Whereas we sin and we go, Christ will forgive me.
Well, and I think that's because she has the correct perspective of Jesus. She understands who he is in that
and
he is redemption.
Her need for a savior.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I would say, you know, by, you know, theory, absolutely I understand my need for a savior. I need to get to heaven and I need to have life and I need all of these things. But day in and day out, do I recognize my need for a savior when I don't tell the truth or I gossip about somebody or, you know, all of these things that we might think are trivial.
Right.
Like, do I recognize my need for a sinner in the very smallest moments of my sinful life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, not to keep talking here, but I'm enjoying this discussion. I struggle with anger sometimes. I think that it's this closet like anger that can come out inside of me. And when I get angry or I get upset or mad, I recognize it as like, I look at it as like a worse sin than something else. You know what I mean? And so when I get angry, it's almost this knee jerk reaction in my body to just go, God, I am like, so like, where is that coming from? You know what I mean? But then a simple sin, like a small like lie to, let's say, even Lacey. I'm not saying I lie to Lacey. I'm just saying it's happened, you know, and it's stupid. It's something that I shouldn't even care about. And I go, it's no big deal. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I can see it in my own life, but I want those little things to me recognize the weight of even the little things, you know?
Right.
And I'm thinking through, like, I used to struggle through like sins and rules following and stuff. And I never realized that since we are new creatures in Christ, like that is the flesh. And now we have the power to live Christ life. And now we don't have to sin. And what's that verse in 1st or 2nd Corinthians? It says, you know, he's given you enough grace to abound in every good work in every moment. And I think in every moment when I'm choosing to sin, it's really like, it is more serious than just, I just told a lie. It's no, I had the opportunity to use the grace God's given me to not lie, but I chose to lie anyways.
Right.
And yeah. It does, like when I think of it that way, it does make it a lot more weighty because I chose to. I didn't have to.
Yeah. And you knew you didn't have to.
Yeah.
You knew exactly what you did in that moment. Yeah.
Totally.
And yeah. I don't, you know, I wonder in the sake of the story, like if this woman, I mean, she knows what she's choosing for her life, but I think what's even greater is that she recognizes that she chose that. But at the end of the day, she recognizes I need a savior to forgive me of this sin. I cannot get past this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
No sacrifice, no animal, nothing is, no law that I do, no thing that I do in my life is going to forgive me of this beside this man who just walked in the door.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great, great thing to look at. And Sarah, I was talking to you earlier today about the book of Jonah. And I just feel like Jonah is this perfect example of the Pharisee that Jesus is talking to here, because God is telling, or God loves the Ninevites, you know what I mean? And whether they're the most sinful people that, you know, skin other people and, you know, hang their flesh on their walls or whatever, Jonah goes, how could you forgive those people, God? They're awful, awful human beings. Their sin is way worse than my sin. All I did was just say, God, I'm not going to Nineveh. You know what I mean? But these people, they slaughter people for a living. How could you ever forgive them? And I just feel like it goes back to that whole I am Jonah theme, where really, like, you could say, I'm a Pharisee. I am Jonah. I don't recognize the need for a savior. I don't recognize the need for Christ or for God in my life because I look at other people's sin as way worse than mine. So therefore it dumbs down my sin in a sense, you know? Whereas I feel like that's exactly what Jonah's doing. He's seeing somebody else's sin and going, well, they're worse than mine. So therefore mine doesn't count as sin because theirs cancels it out almost. Mm-hmm. Is that making sense?
Yeah, totally.
And go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, a prayer of a mentor of mine that, and she has told me this for years. One of her very first prayers of the day, and something that she says throughout the entire day is, "Lord, catch me quickly." That in a moment where we would think that we could get away with sin, or that we could choose to sin and it will be fine, or that we have that, you know, that just that attitude that our sin's not as bad, that the Lord would just catch us quickly. And make us mindful of the sin that we are committing immediately.
Totally.
And I've prayed that so many times and just been convicted of things. No, and I think that is at least how I want to live my life, because I know that ultimately I'm not going to choose to do the right thing every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But I would pray that I have enough sense, like I'm enough sensitive, you know, that I would be caught quickly in my sin and have a conviction that would then say, Megan, confess this.
Mm.
At least that's, I mean, I hope I get to a point where I'm constantly doing that.
Oh, absolutely. I think we all do.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were talking about a book that you...
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it's not as applicable.
No.
But...
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I want to talk about something else. I'm not going to talk about a book. If you want to read a book about little sins and big sins, read Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. All right. Plug.
Well, I think that's a good way to close us out here.
She had something else to say.
I have something else to say.
Oh, I thought...
Because I think, like, it's so easy for people, myself included, just to come to church and I heard a really good sermon and engaged in great singing, and I'm sitting next to people. Like, something that I love about The Well, I know a lot of people love about The Well, is that we are so authentic and so open with things we struggle with. I think the danger that I find is, look, I'm around these people that struggle with the same things that I do. I'm in good company.
Yeah.
You know? And then,
for sure.
Like, I don't think, okay, well, let's get each other out of that, you know? And I love that one of the things that The Well does say is, you know, come as you are, but, and this is what Jeff even said last night, come as you are, but we love you too much to let you stay the same. I think it's something like that.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah. And so, but I catch myself staying the same because it's easy when I'm looking around, be like, oh, I know she struggles with that too. And she loves me because she has grace on me. So I'm just going to stick right here and struggle with it, you know? And instead of striving to become, striving to live in Christ's life and not struggle with that, because we don't have to struggle with things forever. You know, like Christ that's what Christ died for. Like, yeah. We don't have to sit in it, you know?
I just want to say one thing, what you were talking about, and then we'll wrap this segment up. But I've been just doing a lot of studying of the book of Jonah. I'm actually I'm teaching the book of Jonah to a camp this next week as a speaker. And something that I feel like ties into this whole thing, and this is an entirely different discussion here, but based on what you just said on, like, we have these sins and we have these other people. Oh, they have the same sin as me. And we try and get past these sins. We try and get not over them, but try and repent from them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like that. If you read the book of Jonah, you see these Ninevites, God says, like, repent, or for 40 days, like, judgment is coming, and immediately they repent. Immediately they change their lifestyles. It says that their fists, like, something about their fists, like, literally just, like, stopped. Like, their anger, their sins just immediately ended, and I feel like it's because in that moment they had this proper fear of God, mm-hmm. and I feel like in our own sins, as a culture today, we don't have a proper fear of God, mm-hmm. and we don't, it is a recognizing your need for a savior. It is a recognizing your own sin, but I feel like a proper fear of God is what really helps us almost change how, you know, we live our lives. It helps us with that sin. And I know this is an entirely different topic altogether, but mm-hmm. recognizing, like, we are supposed to fear God. We are supposed to recognize our need for a savior. But I think we also need to have a fear of God, mm-hmm. where we go, I don't want to sin because this is not, like, who I am. This is not what I should be doing as a believer. This is not loving God. This is not loving others. And, like, I fear the Lord. Mm-hmm. I fear God. And that's why I think the Ninevites immediately repented. Mm-hmm. So, sorry,
I think you just hit the nail on the head. And it's more than just a healthy respect for God. It's no, like, you should fear God. Like, without Christ, like... Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, go down the route of, like, well, you fear God, if you sin, you can go to hell and stuff. But
no.
I really do believe this is something that's happening in our culture today, is that we don't have a proper and healthy, not a, like, God is a judgmental, morbid, like, God,
right,
but
right.
we need to have a healthy fear of God. And that's a different topic that mm-hmm. maybe will get brought up one of these days. So.
Gosh, I want to keep talking about it.
I know. I feel like our whole spoutcast should be about this today.
Loving. Well,
but can I just make one little plug real quick for Jeff Bachman?
Yeah.
I just think that he is just such a stand-up guy. I don't know.
Guy.
I just want, I want everyone out there to know, if you don't know Jeff or Shara and their family, you should, because they are awesome parents, and they have
some adorable
awesome
kids.
Family,
yeah.
And they're great.
To piggyback that, I feel like it's been such a great opportunity, I think, for both Jeff and I, just to have WSM represented well. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Jeff represented the high school group really well, especially at midweek. He brought all the high schoolers there, and it's just one of those things where the church, and I feel, I get really self-conscious about it. Junior hires are not good at saying, like, hey, thanks, man, or whatever, you know? And the fact that Jeff and myself were given an opportunity to speak is huge. And Jeff nailed it out of the park. Or what do you say? Hit it out of the park.
Hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, something like that.
Hit it out of the park.
But I just feel like it's just one of those things for Jeff, just represented WSM so well, represented the high school group well. And parents are able to now see, who don't know Jeff, who don't know him like you do, Megan, and are able to go, my kid is getting, like, spiritually taught under that guy, you know, and that's just great for parents to see, and I think he did a great job. So.
And for junior high parents as well, Christian, because you did the same thing.
No, I know, but I'm trying to give Jeff praise here.
Well, to represent both sides of WSM, you and Jeff are pretty much rock stars.
You nailed the head on the baseball.
Oh, perfect. hit it out of the coffin.
Yeah. All right. Up next, we're going to have some news with Kevin Tinkin and enjoy some more Matt Kearney.
Yesterday, I was sitting recalling, reminiscing, trying to remember whenever there was nobody listening. Before the hugging and the kissing, the booing and the hissing, all I had was just a vision, all I had was my ambition. Your love without condition kept me swinging when the mission, my eyes upon the prize kept me striving for the mission. When I was down for the count, falling out of commission, I can hear your voice now screaming out, son, listen, get on up, don't give up. Yo, you struck opposition, time to buck all that stuff, find out what's your condition, like a pull in my soul. Like keys in my ignition, call you all my commission, my love and my vision. And doesn't matter if you call me wrong, doesn't matter if you steal my soul, doesn't matter if we're all alone, it doesn't matter.
And now the news with Kevin Tinkin. Is that your newspaper, Kevin?
Hold on. I'm just getting the from the top from the stories.
No, this Kevin, just in. Kevin, extra, extra.
I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago, but we had a guy call into the show, and he was looking for 1419 Eddie Street.
Oh, yeah. He's a sweet guy.
Nicest guy. Sweet guy. And I kid you not, 2 weeks later, I got another phone call. And I would like you guys to listen before we get into the news.
Oh, my
gosh.
Fair?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, hi, it's TJ. I'm looking at your house, 4716. On North Eric, so please give me a call at 519-217-6702. Thanks, bye.
Dude, I'm calling that guy back.
We need to call him back.
I feel bad. I really do.
I love that his is like the voicemail is not anything, but I'm looking at house. But like I'm looking, he's giving you a Twitter update.
You guys are missing the he's like, you guys are missing the best part because he literally when the voicemail kicks in, he goes, "Oh, hi, this is TJ." Like, who says, "Oh, hi"? Like, "Oh, hi"? When I leave a message on Kevin's voicemail, I don't go, "Oh, hi, Kevin." I would go, "Kevin, it's Christian. You know, could you call me back? Leave me a message. Oh, hi, this is TJ."
Well, he had to sit there through, like, the six rings. And right. Then, like, the quick, "Hey, this is podcast, boop-a-doop." And then beep. And then he's all, "Hey, I'm looking at a house. It's this house."
I love how nobody calls into 559-321-7768 and actually talks about the Spoutcast. It's just either Mater or
wrong numbers.
Or Jerry or wrong numbers. So I really would hope somebody would call in.
Well, we've had File call. Megan has called.
That's right. I think I only played half your message, didn't I, that one
no,
time?
No, you actually played the whole thing, which okay. I was really excited about.
Good.
Jeremiah's called.
Jeremiah's called.
Hasn't Wes Crockett called?
No, I don't.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
he has called.
Wes
Christian.
Crockett.
Kevin, I know you just crumpled a piece of paper in your hand, but hopefully there was some news on that paper.
Oh, that was just a napkin.
Oh, that was a. That was I didn't lunch. Know napkins were that.
I'm eating crumpled. Lunch.
So hit us with some news here, Kevin.
A Miami man tried to rob a delicatessen, but was thwarted by the owner, who hit him in the face with a giant salami and broke his nose. The hapless robber. fled the deli and hid in the trunk of a nearby car, which turned out to be an undercover police car. The man was arrested 5 days later.
5 days?
Yes.
Why was there an undercover police car unmanned? It was just sitting there?
Did he hide in the trunk for 5 days?
He was in the trunk for 5 days. They
eat
found
the salami?
They could hear whimpering sounds coming from the car's trunk.
Was it,
he had a broken nose. He was bleeding from the nose. He probably got salami bits in there.
So no what good. About water? I feel like you'd be dead.
You say, what about water? What about water? You get us some water? Is this because he was in New York?
I said water.
No, you didn't. You said water.
So what about water?
I feel the hostility
you scratched,
sometimes.
You scratched
maybe.
Your neck
maybe
with the opposite
bottles.
Side of your fingernails. You go, what about water?
What if there was water bottles inside the trunk?
There maybe.
Have you ever seen that old SNL skit with Jim Belushi where like he's in a deli and like he cuts sandwiches with like a gigantic sword? Have you ever seen that skit?
Oh yeah.
That's so good. No? Nobody seen it?
I've seen it.
Never seen that one,
it's
Megan?
Brilliant.
No, I haven't.
That's
Megan
great.
Is twirling her gum diligently on her index finger.
I feel like I'd want to know what it feels like to get this is gonna sound no, not
you
gonna...
wanna get hit in the face with a giant salami.
Did
and
you,
break
and,
your nose?
And you just hit your head on the microphone thing.
Why don't we bring in a giant salami?
I don't know. I just feel
and
like,
then
I
hit
feel
you.
Like that would be hysterical. Right? No?
Sure. Sure.
No, it's great. Keep going.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. A New York City pet store bans drunken puppy buying.
What does that mean?
Well, where's the fun in that?
I know. A New York City pet store that's surrounded by bars banned drunken puppy buying. Workers at Le Petit Puppy.
Are we talking not like drunken puppies?
No, the puppies
no,
aren't
like
drunk.
The people who go and buy them are drunk.
Yeah.
I'd like
they're
to
surrounded
buy a
by
puppy.
Bars.
Like people
I would
who
like
get drunk
him.
Tattoos. They want to get drunk animals or whatever, you know?
Yeah, they're just hammered and they're like, I want a puppy.
So they go and buy one.
I'm not getting this. So literally someone is...
They come
intoxicated.
They come out of the bar after happy hour.
What I'd like to know is what pet stores are open at like 3 a.m. after.
No, it's happy hour.
Okay.
So it's
6
like
p.m.
3 to 6.
Yeah, ish.
Oh, Megan.
Oh, I know happy
hour.
Hey,
we've
That's
all,
a joke.
We've all worked in restaurants Weird. One way or another. So that she just said no more because the pets often will be returned or
do you have to take a breathalyzer or
I don't know. Let's see here. Yes. I don't know.
I'm assuming you'd know if they are intoxicated or not. I wonder, just by the behaviors.
I know that's in New York City, but isn't Fresno like one of the drunkest cities in the world?
Yeah, Fresno is everything number one that's bad in the world.
True.
I'm pretty
sure. So I feel like our pet buying would be, drunken pet buying would be up there, right? I feel like it's probably pretty common.
Along with car theft.
Is that really number one in Fresno?
We're like number three.
I've seen Fresno's teen pregnancy. On gang. We're number one in car theft. Audio director Dave
one?
Says.
We're number one.
Oh, you're right. We are number one. I saw the article recently.
I wonder if that's a point of pride in Fresno.
No.
No?
Nope.
Not?
Nope.
Do we have a point of pride that we were on Gang Wars?
We do have the Underground Gardens.
Yeah. We were also on True Life. Saw a True Life episode.
Aren't we like the raisin capital of the world?
We're the fruit basket.
All right. What are other good qualities about Fresno?
Define the fruit basket.
I'm literally at a loss right now. Wow. All I can think about is how friggin' hot it's been here lately, and I can't think of anything good about Fresno. Yeah.
American Idol made fun of Fresno in season one.
Yeah.
Ryan Seacrest made fun of Fresno from the stage.
What's the movie Monsters versus Aliens? Have you guys seen Monsters versus Aliens? Like, literally the big joke in the movie was Fresno. Like they were from Visalia or Merced or something. Like the whole movie set in Merced or Visalia. And then like one of the monsters came from Fresno and they're like, why is he here?
Whoa.
Yeah. Huh. Like it was a big joke.
Right, because an hour north or south is much different than being in Fresno.
Well, yeah. I'm not from here. However, I don't mind Fresno at all.
I'm not from here either. And I don't mind Fresno. I actually really enjoy Fresno, but I don't appreciate the weather. Because I'm from where it's very temperate and wonderful all the time.
You know what I don't appreciate?
What?
I don't appreciate drunken dog buyers.
Right, in New York.
And Fresno, because we're the number one drunkest city, so you'd assume it's here too, right?
Well, I would assume so, yeah.
You got another news story?
You know that I didn't know what a checkpoint was until I moved to Fresno?
A DUI checkpoint?
Yeah, I had no idea.
I live next to one.
I've never gotten stopped on one either. I just, like,
free
they're terrifying
hugs.
To me.
Saturday night, 7, 8 p.m. on Palm, there's always a checkpoint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, you got one more news story for us?
Did you, like, put on makeup as you saw the officers coming out?
No, I've actually never driven through one.
I got to get ready.
They're kind of fun.
One time.
Yeah, they kind of freak me out. I honestly, because I think that maybe people can perceive me as drunk normally, that I would get pulled over just for the sake of pulling me over and not because I'm actually drunk. And I'd be terrified to go through that because what if, like, I was wrongfully convicted of that?
I've always said that if I ever get accused of anything, I'm going to jail. I don't have to have done it at all.
Right. Because
but I just look guilty.
Yeah, right? And because, I mean, honestly, if they ask me to walk in a straight line, I'd probably stumble.
Well, yeah, you know how when an officer asks you to touch or, like, follow the pen?
Yeah.
You know? Well, the officer said, follow the pen with your eyes. To me, when I got pulled over, I wasn't like a DUI. I was swerving a little bit. He said,
were you texting?
Wait
this
a second.
Is the best thing I've
ever
heard.
16. I was like 16, and I just basically, when you're in the mountains and you're driving, you tend to drive straight on a swervy road.
Nope.
All right.
So it looks like you're
swerving. So it looks like you're swerving. Okay.
Break in, gas out. I've always known that.
The police officer said, follow the pen with your eyes. And so I literally followed the pen with my face instead of my eyes. And so I like looked to my left and looked to my right. And
follow with your
nose. The officer looked at me and he said, sir, have you really not been drinking? Because this is the number one thing that we like people automatically fail at. And I'm like, I promise I haven't. I'm 16. I'm like crying. And he's like, follow it with your eyes. And I'm like, oh, I got it. All right, that's my story about me getting pulled over.
Brilliant.
And he also actually had me take a breathalyzer test. So it was.
Did you fail that too?
Just no, hitting the cough syrup too hard.
I think there's
hard.
A breathalyzer iPhone app.
There is. I've
never used it.
I don't feel
it.
Like that would be possible.
Yeah. No.
Mythbusters tested if you could beat a breathalyzer, and they prove that you can't. So
just with a stick. Right?
Am I right or am I right?
Am I right?
I don't even know what a breathalyzer looks like. It's like a little contraption.
It looked like a little box with a little like tube. You know those things where like
looks like a juicy juice cup. Juice.
No, have you ever been to the hospital and they've checked your ear with that little like thing?
Yeah.
The tip of the breathalyzer looks like the thing they stick into your ear.
Okay.
And the rest of it is like an electronic machine. Like a juicy juice box. Okay. Yeah. All right, Kevin, you got one more news story for us?
Minnesota councilman mails himself a fake grenade to earn sympathy.
What?
Interesting.
No?
What?
It would be as though if someone were to mail themselves anthrax or something.
Yeah, the councilman for St. Francis, Minnesota, Leroy Schaffer.
That's like Sarah trying to read the Old Testament.
Yeah, which was brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, that was
very good. I loved it. I love it.
You.
I love awkwardness. So like,
I
when like you
the
were
World of Warcraft Whoa. Joke.
Yeah, that was pretty solid.
I love Darren.
That's his name.
Yep. Yeah, Darren.
Did you notice the two gnomes in the background?
My idea to put the lawn gnome in the shot.
Keep going. Sorry.
So Leroy Schaffer, he emails himself a fake grenade. He mails himself a fake grenade.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's an e-card with a grenade on it.
Yeah, materialized particles through his Mac. he does this thing. He calls the cops and is like, cops, there's a grenade and somebody. It's a suspicious.
He calls the cops and he goes, uh-oh.
Yeah. He calls the cops and says, there's a suspicious looking package. On my front porch, and you gotta come check it out. And they're like, oh my goodness. So a cop shows up at his house and is like, if there's a bomb in there, I'm not gonna touch it. Right. And he's like, well, there is, because it's suspicious.
Oh, so he legitimately mailed himself a bomb.
Yes.
Okay. So this wasn't like a joke, like he mailed himself a bomb.
No, he literally mailed himself a bomb he thought he would gain him sympathy with with the voters or whatever.
Now just looks really stupid.
Yeah,
what a perfect
ridiculous.
Example for a man crying for help, you know? Just
exactly.
Needs some love.
But here's the good
you
part.
You should give him a Well Worship CD.
I should. Oh, my goodness.
Maybe that's the same guy.
It could be. This guy, there would just be expletives in the whole story. Yeah.
That may or may not be one of the funniest stories you've ever told.
So horrible. So the cop's like, I'm not going to open it, the police officer. And he says, well, and then he just tears into it. And he opens it up and it's a fake grenade. And he wrote on.
Tell me it's like those water grenades that like look like a grenade.
I have no clue. They didn't show a picture or anything, but the piece of paper in there said the next one will be real. And then when they investigated, it just didn't seem normal that the guy would think it was a bomb and then just tear into it and open it on his own.
Right.
And so then they went into his house and they actually found a sheet of, like self-addressed, those little return to sender type
yes.
things. Yeah. And so there was a sheet from like some place that he was trying to make it look like they sent it to him. And there was one sticker missing. And so he got in trouble.
Man, what a bummer.
What was he? Yeah. Like, who is this guy again? I can't remember.
He's a congressman, right?
Leroy Schaffer.
What is he doing? Like, what is his job?
He's a congressman.
Oh, okay.
I
missed that part.
I'm sorry, councilman. Congressman?
Councilman.
Congress, I think.
Congress a little different.
Councilman, yeah. what would be their job?
For St. Francis.
City. Someone on the council.
Represent the people for their district.
Like a city councilman?
Yeah, I would
or
assume so.
Or council of anything?
I assume it's city.
He represents St. Francis of St. Francis, Minnesota.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah.
So the people, the way that the government works is he represents a group of people, and then, they pull.
At a city level.
That's right.
Gotcha. For our Spoutcast listeners, we really should send this guy a Well Worship CD. I feel like that works. Like, that's like a good.
Yeah, but how are we going to get this guy's address?
Well, it's probably got to be on the package that he sent with the bomb.
Google Maps
so.
Or something.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, thanks for being here. Thanks for bringing the news.
You're welcome.
And we appreciate you. And we hope you come back next week.
I hope so, too. I hope we'll make it.
All right. Well, Kevin, up next, we're going to have our friend Sarah Roby come and talk to us about kind of mobilizing the Spoutcast.
She seems nice.
She's really nice. She's really nice. Thanks, Kevin.
Friday morning, purple dawn. broke a yawn as I stepped through the fog like I stepped to a song, a moment like a poem. Wish you could hold it, shut my eyes like it's frozen. It's gone when I open, it slipped past the clouds right there where it lingered. Like a band and a girl could slip through your fingers. Feet hit the ground like a beat for the lonely, on a path beaten down by the crowds in the morning. If only I could touch past.
All right, we are back and we have a very special, special guest today.
Yay.
Her name is Sarah Roby. Sarah, how are you?
I'm so good, Christian.
Now you, as a listener, may have heard this name once or twice before. Sarah, you are from Santa Cruz, correct?
I live there currently.
You live there. Where are you from?
I'm from Tacoma, Washington.
Tacoma? Oh, really? Yeah. I know a couple people from Tacoma, Washington.
It's great. I love it.
So the reason why we brought you on the show is because you are a fan of The Spout, right?
I would like to say I'm the biggest fan.
Do you think you're bigger than Jeremiah?
You know, that's hard to say.
Okay, because he's what we call a super fan.
Okay.
Oh, Cyrus is a super fan.
How do
Could
I
you
get
be our
be...
female super fan?
Yes.
Yeah, does that work?
I want that.
All right, great. Now, the reason why we brought you on the show is because, one, we want to talk about our one and why, our favorite t-shirt and why, but... Speaking of t-shirts really fast, would you ever wear a Spoutcast t-shirt?
I would wear it every day.
I believe it.
I doubt
she
that,
would.
But...
I would.
Okay. Now, you don't go to the Well, but I do want... The reason why I think it's...
She does listen to the Well podcast, though.
I
you
do.
Do.
Yes.
So have you heard the sermon last week?
I have not, All right. but I'm going to.
All right.
Promise.
Now, the reason why I wanted to have you here is because I wanted to dialogue with you about what it's like to be a fan of the show who's... really not part of the Well, and really, do you think that the Spoutcast works even if you don't go to the Well?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Expand
I
on that.
The only answer.
Are you serious?
Mean, definitely.
Are you a little nervous?
You know, I am a little nervous. Here's what I like about being a fan of the Spoutcast and listening to it, but not going to the Well, is a lot of my friends go to the Well.
Okay.
Sarah, Megan. So I just like know what they're
We're
doing.
Friends. Sarah
We're
works
at the
Facebook.
Well. Well, yeah, we're friends on Facebook. Right. Yeah, thanks for that.
I'll consider that a friend.
I, you know, I like it.
Oh, you like it, but do you feel like it, even though you don't go to the Well, it's you still would enjoy it whether you go to the Well or not?
Yeah, definitely. I like to know what's going on at churches around the area.
I wonder if in Santa Cruz, you work in Santa Cruz?
I do.
Where do you work in Santa Cruz?
Well, I actually work in Watsonville.
Oh, you do? Watsonville. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Mm-hmm.
I work at a group home there called
Haven
of Hope.
And where do you live? Mount Hermon?
I live in Capitola.
You live in Capitola, really? Where? I live in Capitola.
This is a lot of personal information.
Address.
Near 41st.
Near 41st. Mm-hmm. I lived right off of 41st.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Do you know where Chanticleer is?
Nope.
That's where I lived. So
okay, I'll look for it.
Yeah, you should check out Chanticleer.
Okay.
I don't even remember our address, but to each his own. I'm just gonna keep rolling.
Keep
here.
Going,
All right,
Christian.
So, now, do you ever share this podcast with friends in Santa Cruz? Have you ever told somebody about it?
Oh, for sure. My roommates, they'd always come in when I'm listening to it, and they're like, "What is that? Oh, the Spoutcast!" And I tell them how funny everybody is.
And have they ever listened to an episode?
I don't think they've listened to a whole episode, but they've listened to bits and pieces.
Yeah, I feel like I'll go. For
can
it.
I ask a question, Sarah? What is your favorite? Like, what's your favorite segment of the podcast?
Oh, I like the beginning. I feel like the beginning is like. What'd you do last weekend? Like fun little facts. Yeah. And you guys are just so excited. Not that you're not excited towards the end, but.
Towards the end, we just hate
the
our
The beginning is just so exciting.
Good. Do you only listen to the first segment and you just stop after
No, I listen
that?
To mm-hmm. all minutes.
Good.
Yeah.
All minutes?
All minutes of the show.
Now, I guess for me, I like that people from The Well listen to this podcast. The point of this podcast is for people from The Well to feel a part of The Well culture, to get to know different people who attend The Well, staff members of The Well. I mean, the whole reason why we interviewed Dave Johnson back in the day was just to get someone who goes to a different and works at a different church, you know? And so we've even had other people that, like Andrew Feil, he came in and talked about what are the things we need to do better and whatnot. And so I feel like for us, some growth that we could do is how could we appeal to somebody who's not part of the Well, but would still want to listen to a podcast that I feel like has good information, right?
Definitely. I can get back to you on that.
Yeah, you could get back, but not on the spot.
Not on the spot.
You should really ask your roommates and email us in. What would make you guys want to listen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that'd be good for me, really.
And Sarah has lots of roommates.
I do. I have lots.
Like 20 or?
Like five.
Five. That's pretty
hey,
good.
Hey, roomies.
You should tell them you're on the show and maybe they'll listen.
I think that I would like to be the Santa Cruz spokesperson for the
good.
World.
So. I have a friend who would be considered the Santa Cruz spokesperson as well.
Oh.
But
she can be the girl version.
You can be the girl.
She's the girl.
How about, you know, I'll
everything.
Give you that title. Santa Cruz spokesperson. It's official.
Yes.
Spoutcast.
Sarah, how do you feel?
I no words. Speechless.
Sarah, can I ask
you
just one quick question? 30 minutes ago when you walked into the studio, did you have any clue that you were going to be on the Spoutcast
nope.
today?
My life is changed forever. I'm not joking. I think that you guys think that it's funny, but this is like a big deal. I love the Spoutcast.
Like seeing the inside of the recording studio,
yeah.
doesn't
this
it weird
is
you
like,
out?
When Will and Kate showed up to that, you know, like, Stars BAFTA Awards a couple weeks ago or last week or yeah. whatever it was, celebrities looked to them as celebrities.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was like a big deal.
Well, you guys are celebrities to me.
All right. Well, I don't think so, but.
Oh, okay. We should listen to the NSYNC song, If I Wasn't a Celebrity. Wait, come on. Boy bands, help me out.
I don't know that one. I was an O-Town fan. Sorry. O-Town and Backstreet Boys. Never got into NSYNC.
I like NSYNC, Sarah.
Yeah. Thanks.
LFO is number three as well. Anyways. Let's talk about t-shirts, okay? Because we've gotten some emails in the past about people wanting a t-shirt, and you say you would want a t-shirt, right?
I would
right?
love a t-shirt.
I want to talk about our favorite t-shirts and why, okay? Just our one favorite t-shirt and why. And so I'll start out first. Is that fair?
Yeah.
All right. My favorite t-shirt, you guys would look at it and go like, you wouldn't care at all. But I have a favorite t-shirt. It's actually, it says on the back, all it says is Shallot Reigns, okay? And it's a picture of my two friends, Johnny and Reed, okay? And you guys would think it's totally stupid, but they used to have a podcast, which is the inspiration for this podcast, called the Gene Shallot Power Hour. And so on the back, it says Shallot Reigns. And I wore it to my graduation underneath my gown, my college graduation. And to this day, like, I just wear that shirt with so much proudness, like of
pride.
Proudness may not be a word.
It's okay, you can make
but
it up.
But when I was saying it to Sarah, she nodded her head as though it was a word, and so I was gonna stick with that.
Sarah supports.
But every
all.
Time I wear that shirt, I'm remembered of how I graduated and how much I love my friends. Those two guys were at my wedding and all that. So it's a great shirt. Probably another inspiration of, you know, our t-shirts that will be coming in months to come. So that's my one and why.
That's great,
Sarah. What's your, not Sarah Roby? But Sarah Wells, what's your one and why?
I have a t-shirt that is orange with blue letters on it, and it says M is for musical. And I really feel like wow. that t-shirt just epitomizes me. M is for musical, and I got it at a I don't even remember.
Have you heard the Book of Mormon musical?
Yeah, I've actually heard it's fantastic. Really good. It's won a lot of Tonys and yeah. stuff.
Oh, awesome. Is it really about the Book of Mormon?
No, it's about...
You never heard about this?
No.
I'll totally talk about it with you off air, but it's basically this... Matt and Trey Stone, who do South Park, wrote mm-hmm. this musical making fun of the Mormon religion.
Oh,
but it's
wow.
it's a great musical.
Well, no, it's about these two Mormon missionaries, and one guy is in the mission, and he realizes, I don't agree with this stuff, and
right.
it's like he challenges what he grew up with. So,
exactly. Huh. But they make fun of a lot of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they also make fun of Christianity and whatnot.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, sorry.
So, M is for musical is my t-shirt. I don't ever wear it because honestly, I'm a little embarrassed, but I keep it and I just look at it
and
think,
I'll give you $5 if you wear
M is for musical.
I'll give you $5 if you wear it to work.
Oh, okay. I mean, okay, for $5. Sure.
All right.
Okay. Because I love musicals.
Good. Sarah Roby, what's your favorite shirt and why?
Yes. I have a t-shirt that I, two summers ago when I worked at Mount Hermon with Sarah Wells, we tie-dyed a t-shirt, me and my favorite camper, as like a one-on-one time. We tie-dye t-shirts. And so it's like a Mount Hermon t-shirt that's tie-dyed. And whenever I wear it, I think of her. And I think about
you
that
think
summer.
You think of the camper or Sarah Wells?
I think of my favorite camper.
Okay.
Sorry,
that's
Sarah.
That's fine. You're always thinking of me.
But I also think about Mount Hermon and yeah. what Mount Hermon means to me, and also it's tie-dye and it's in Santa Cruz, so people just think you're cool,
right? Yeah.
So
and Sarah owns a lot of tie-dye.
I never got into the tie-dye thing, but I can understand the sentimental value behind a tie-dye
yeah.
t-shirt. So.
Thank you,
Megan.
My favorite t-shirt I've had since I was in eighth grade.
Does it say M is for musical?
No, that does not epitomize me. That's for sure. Sarah, I do agree with your
choice,
though.
I am comfortable
you
with
are,
who I am.
You are musical.
I am.
You are. Anyways, I got this shirt when I went to Colonial Williamsburg when I was in eighth grade on a trip to D.C.
Okay.
With my junior high. And it's red, and it has – I used to collect shirts, like, wherever I'd go. And I still do this. I always buy a shirt from a place that I go because I just think – I love, like,
I would
fun
say
local
I probably
t-shirts.
Do the same thing. I buy them at Walgreens, though, because they're much cheaper.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing to think about next time I go somewhere.
I'm serious, though.
Yeah. And so I got this shirt, and it's got these, like, Patriot men on it with this, like, American flag, and it says in, like, this really fancy writing, it says Colonial Williamsburg, but it's, like, that poly-blend type of material fabric, so it's, like, really soft and, like, kind of, like, it just is great. It's so great.
I feel like
so
that's
a
shirt that you would find at a thrift store.
It is.
But you have kept it, and so now it's, like... Yeah. Someone would go, hey, did you get that at a thrift store? And you're like, no, I bought this myself.
See, a lot of my shirts are shirts I've had since I was in 7th or 8th grade that I would actually buy from a thrift store now. Right. So I pretty much am a thrift store. Yeah.
You're making that claim right
my
here on
this podcast. My closet is a thrift store. Come shopping, because you'll find shirts that I've collected over the years for a long time. Because I just love old t-shirts. Yeah.
I'm a fan of old t-shirts at thrift stores as well. However, my wife is not a fan of them. So she likes stripes.
I love stripes.
Yeah.
I like stripes.
Not me.
Sometimes I wear opposing stripes, like striped pants and opposing stripes on top. I just love it.
Sarah, how do you feel about stripes?
I love stripes. Actually, I was thinking about one time me and Sarah bought a lot of stripes at Old Navy.
We did. We went to Old Navy and we bought a bunch of clothes, and then we went outside and realized every piece of clothing we bought had stripes on it.
It was like 17 articles of stripes.
How did we get to stripes?
My wife wants me to wear stripes more.
You're wearing stripes right now. What a good husband.
Oh, this is nuts. All right, Sarah, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
What are you going to do after this?
You know, I can't really top it. So I'm going to float.
Just
to Santa
float
Cruz.
Right on out of here. Well, thanks for being here. And make sure you tell at least some fans in Santa Cruz, or hopefully we'll get to other people in other areas, and ask them what would make them want to listen, and then email us back. Is that fair? Do you know our email address?
thespoutcast@gmail.com.
Oh, so close. Oh. thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. The Spout Cast was unavailable. So
I don't know why. From like episode 2.
Yeah. So I apologize. But Sarah, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
So you've listened all the way back to episode 2. Have you listened?
She's been listening since episode one. She's loved it since episode 1.
Good.
Loved.
Good. Well, thanks for being here. Up next, we'll do some announcements and close out the show. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
Point of returning for you, I'm ruined and broken. There's a way in returning. You got my heart in the open. I see it shrinking the distance in the glow of your glory. And I never will miss this bottom line of the story. I see the oceans are crashing in the lavender skies. I see the clouds are flashing. They tell me, who am I? You're the air that I'm breathing while I'm lying asleep. And you're the cool of the evening. Now you got me believing, singing. Train wreck, I'm a train wreck.
All right, we are back, and Kevin Tinkin is back with us in studio. And Kevin, we would like to know...
Has he left?
Yes, Kevin has left for Sarah Roby's interview.
Oh, you're right. I forgot.
Yeah.
He just sits creepily in the room staring at us. Doesn't say anything.
Great questions, everybody.
Kevin, what...
Oh, Sarah, you're answering really well.
We would like to know what your favorite t-shirt is that you have and why.
When I was in high school, I used to wear white tees, the A shirt. No, the A shirt's actually the tank top. But I used to just wear white shirts, and then I discovered
black shirts.
People be wearing like cool shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if I have my favorite shirt. I do have a shirt that's a picture of a metronome.
I've seen this shirt. I
and
really
it actually
like this shirt.
Has a gnome on the top. And it's a metronome.
Oh, I got it. That's a good one.
I get it. Like a metronome. Gnome. Is it dressed?
A metronome?
No. Like, is it? Does it look like an actual musical
thing, or
is it a gnome that's dressed metro?
No, it should be like that. But no, it's just actually a gnome on top of a metronome. And it's,
okay.
It's right. I buy all my shirts from Woot.com.
Right. I love Woot.
I'm wearing one today. Yeah. It's a freaky.
The audience can
flower.
See it. So.
I have the Game Boy shirt
Kevin
from
just,
Shirt.Woot.
Kevin just pushed his shirt out as though like, hey, everybody check my shirt
take
out.
A look.
All you know right. What? Wait. Now that you're talking about Shirt.Woot, I have to tell you about another shirt that I have that I love.
Okay.
It's green and it has the Gettysburg Address on it in like the shape of Abraham Lincoln's face.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm a huge Abraham Lincoln fan. So
can I tell you the first moment I cried in a movie? Speaking of next week's One and Why movie quotes, okay? So please, for next week, email the spoutpodcast@gmail.com with your One and Why and your movie quote.
Yeah.
But the first time I cried in a movie was during the movie Remember the Titans. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, I have. I love it.
And they all go down to where the Battle of Gettysburg happened. They run like 2.5 miles at like 4 a.m. And he says, like, if we don't come together on this hallowed ground, and I literally get goosebumps. I'm like, this is the greatest. And I'm crying because I just studied Gettysburg in school. He says, if we don't come together on this hallowed ground, we too will fall. Like they did here on this land. And I'm just crying my eyes. You guys remember that scene?
Yeah, yeah. I love that.
Some really fantastic scene.
I'm blown away. I'm about to cry because I'm so surprised that you liked a good movie.
Yeah.
I agree. I liked a normal movie.
We are all currently weeping over Christian's good movie taste. It's quite shocking.
That. What movie have I ever said that I love good movies?
Okay.
You do like good movies.
Our graphic designer, what would we call? What did I call him earlier?
Creative
director. And I just had a fantastic conversation about The Tree of Life, which I believe will go down in history as one of the greatest movies of all time. All right.
Oh, you mean Transformers 2? Is that what you meant?
No, I meant The Tree of Life. All right. Forget it. I do
you
love
didn't
a movie.
Like Cars too. I mean, that's just brutal.
I do like a movie called The Sixth Man, which is about a basketball player that dies while giving a slam dunk, and then he comes back as a ghost, and he's the sixth man.
I can't even listen.
Literally,
to you.
I can quote that movie from beginning to end. To you. So it's fantastic.
This intro is getting really long.
It's not an intro. This is the outro.
Outro.
Anyways, hey guys, thanks for listening.
Very confused today.
Thanks for listening. This is The Spout. We are out.
She don't know what she wants to be. With all the pictures in the magazines, holding hands when she's mad at me. Cause she don't wanna go, don't wanna go. I met her at Anthropology, a purple boots and a golden dreams. Standing there like a Tennessee queen, singing, don't look at me, don't look at me. Singing, oh, oh, won't you help me sing this song? Singing, E, E, E. She don't ever wanna. In the golden thighs, what you doing for the rest of your life? Cause you don't want to go, don't want to go. Singing, oh, oh, won't you help me sing this song? Singing, e, 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 but you're playing like a mystery. Singing, hey mama, don't want no drama, just a kiss before I leave. Hey lady, don't say maybe. Drama, just kiss before I leave. Hey lady, don't say maybe, you're the one that I got.